Good morning, Kairos. I'm going to send greetings from the Show Me State. Anybody know where the Show Me State is? Way up there in Missouri, all right? And so I'm excited to be with you. I'm the lead pastor at Connection Point Church there in Jackson. And you guys who are from here, you know, you get experiences every week. And me being an outsider, I get a chance to do something that maybe you don't think too much about. But I'm sitting over here just like, being blessed all morning by the incredible team here, and then being led into the presence of God through worship. So if you appreciate the team here at Kairos, the worship team, everyone that helped you feel welcome today, would you let them hear you? Yeah. You did an amazing job. I want to say that I'm honored today. I've got some people that I love very much right here on the front two rows right here from Missouri, Jersey. I'm excited that they're here today as well. And Pastor Brent and Christine and their family, I'm honored to be their friend, and I'm honored to be invited to come and get to share the word with you this morning. I know you love them. You've been blessed by this church already, but you don't have a church like this without great leadership. So if they're watching online, I want to see if they can hear, okay? So would you let Brent and Christine and their family know how much you appreciate your pastor and family? Come on. Yeah, that's where you get loud. Yeah, there we go. Would you pray with me real quickly as we prepare our hearts for the word? Father, we love you. Thank you for your incredible blessings. I'm honored to be here today at Kairos. Thank you that I get to spend a few moments with these incredible people. And we pray as we open your amazing word that you'll speak to us, God. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to grasp and understand what you want to say to us today. Help us to step out in faith and meet with you today, Father, in a special way. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Don't matter where you go to church or never been to church, everybody knows say amen. Isn't that awesome? I want to ask you a question. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I just want you to internally think about this for a minute, because this is a burden deep in me right now. How many of you ever struggle with feeling invisible? Feeling like, you know, you could be forgotten at any moment. You go around life and you feel unseen. You ever felt like that? And it's kind of crazy to even ask that question, right? I mean, because we live in such a technologically connected world right now. I mean, you think about it. We have so many friends on social media, and we're constantly checking social media. Any of you get caught up with, like, you know, every spare second of the day, you just got to check your feed, right? I mean, most of us do that, right? It gets so easy. I mean, how many would have ever thought we'd got attached to social media the way we have? And we're looking for likes, and we're like, man, I gotta see how many likes my last post got. And we see how many friends, you know, gave us a thumbs up or a heart, and we either feel validated, or if there's not enough, isn't this crazy? We start feeling like, well, my post wasn't good enough. They didn't like it good enough. And if we don't post enough, we're worried they'll forget about us on social media. And here's the truth. We all know this. It's in the back of our minds. Most of the people on there aren't our friends anyway, right? I mean, they're fake friends. They're social media friends. And this is so crazy because we're all so connected today. Back in 2020, right after COVID, Harvard University actually did a study on this. And here's what they found. Harvard found out that one out of every three Americans today feel lonely, even though they are more connected than any other time in human history. I want you to think about that right here in this room. If you look around this room, great crowd this morning. If you counted, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, every third person in the room today, probably internally, they may not tell you, you may not gather it from their social media posts, but struggle with feeling forgotten or invisible. I was having this very conversation last week with my wife and two of our staff members and a friend in the church, and we were out in the front of our church. I don't know how many of you watched the eclipse. Could you even see it down here? I guess you could. Well, in Missouri, where I'm at, our city, it was one of the top places in the country to watch the eclipse. And we had folks there. It was crazy to me. We're in Jackson, Missouri, right? We had people from Hawaii, Washington State, and Miami. We had all directions located in Jackson, Missouri. And it was crazy because we don't have the road system for that. All right, it was insane. But we were out there at our church. Our church was one of the viewing locations, and I'm out front, and I'm having this very conversation, and our friend who's there, she's a wife, an incredible wife. She's a mother of great kids. She is a stay-at-home mom. She is a volunteer in our church, and I mean she is an active volunteer. She's one of those, like, it doesn't matter what we need done, you call her, she shows up, right? She's an incredible volunteer. And as I'm talking about this very subject, she speaks up and she goes, "I can relate to that." And when you look at her, you're like, "What do you mean you're gonna relate to that? You're married, you got children, you're in church all the time, you're involved. What do you mean by that?" And then she goes on to tell me, she says, "I feel like I could be forgotten at any moment." And then she did something I was shocked. She opened up her arm and showed me the tattoo she'd recently received on the inside of her right forearm. And the tattoo was a name of God, the name we're gonna study today. She had tattooed on her arm, Elroy. And if you don't know what Elroy means, it's only found in one place in the entire Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 16. That's where we're going to study today. Elroy means the God who sees me. And what you have there in Genesis 16 is this lady says, "I could relate to the woman." There's a woman. Genesis 16 is all the story of one woman. And she's there. And watch this is so crazy, right? All through the Bible, you have all these names for God, and God gives himself the names, right? That describes his character. I know you guys have been studying this for like, what, 6-7 weeks now. And God is describing his character, but I want you to understand something about Elroy. It's the only time in the Bible where a human is given the right to name God. A woman is given the right to give a name unto God. And she gave him the name Elroy. So let me tell you a little bit about this. This is a woman, this girl in my church says, "I can relate to her. Her name is Hagar." And the name Hagar, watch this, look at this, means forsaken. And this woman literally felt forsaken. Let me tell you the story of Hagar if you've never heard about her. Hagar is the slave of a woman named Sarah. This is about 4,000 years ago, give and take a little. This goes all the way back to where the Jewish people trace their lineage. They trace their lineage all the way back to a man named Abraham, and Abraham had a wife named Sarah. Sarah owned this Egyptian servant named Hagar. So here's the deal. Watch this. Here's this young Egyptian girl who's a slave to someone else, so she has no identity, she has no voice, and she has no rights. Her whole life is controlled by Sarah. Now, God had made a promise to Abraham. Isn't it awesome to know that our God uses imperfect people? Look at your neighbor and tell them that's why you get to come. Amen. Come on back up. But God is using Abraham and Sarah. And God actually tells Abraham when he's 75 years old, he says, "The day's coming, you're going to have a child." Because at that point, he's childless. And he's 75. How many know that's kind of wild right there? And God says, "You and Sarah are going to have a child. And out of that child is going to be birthed a nation." And that's where Israel comes from. It comes from the lineage of Abraham and Sarah, their son, and then his son, and then 12 tribes. Boom, you have a nation, right? So watch this. 10 years passes. How old is Abraham now? He's like 85. His wife's 10 years younger. She's 75. And she's still not pregnant. How many know sometimes you got to wait on a promise from God? 10 years goes by, and Sarah goes, "I just don't think this is happening. Maybe we need to help God out." How many know you always get in trouble when you try to help God out? Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't do that. Sarah says, "I've got a great idea, Abraham. Abraham, here's what we'll do. Since God hasn't let me have a child, but God promised you a child, I'm gonna give you my servant girl, Hagar. I'm gonna give you my servant, and you can marry her, and you can have a child by her. And she'll kind of be a surrogate, and then we'll raise this child up as God's promised child." Abraham thought about this for a minute, looked over from his 75-year-old wife to a young Egyptian slave girl, looked back at his 75-year-old wife and said, "Okie dokie." And he married her, and she became pregnant. Now here's where the story gets really interesting. After Hagar gets pregnant, the Bible says, this is all at the beginning of Genesis 16, Hagar despised Sarah. I mean, now you got feud happening inside the house, but she's owned by Sarah, but she's despising Sarah. And you may ask the question, why did she despise Sarah? You know, it could be a lot of reasons. One, the culture was if you were a woman and you couldn't have a child, you were looked down upon. That's not right, but that was the culture. But I believe it's more than that. I believe you've got an Egyptian slave girl who has no right, no voice, and now she's been forced to marry an 85-year-old man and have his child. Her whole life has been taken away from her and dominated by someone out of her control. And she, the Bible says, began to despise Sarah. Sarah, in turn, retaliates, and Sarah begins to abuse and mistreat Hagar so severely. Watch this. The Bible says Hagar had to flee for her life. She left. She went on the run. She's headed back to Egypt, and she's got to go through the desert to get there. And out in the middle of the desert, here's what you find when you come to Genesis 16. You have Hagar, a slave girl, who is alone in the desert, pregnant, without shelter, without provisions, and she is hopeless and ready to die. And watch this, watch this, watch this. That is when God intervenes. How many know that God may not show up early, but he shows up right on time? And not your time, not my time, right? Our time would have been like way back there, but God knows when to show up in our lives. And God shows up for Hagar, and that's where we're going to pick up the reading today. Look with me and let's read together verses 7 through 13. The angel of the Lord found her, shall he did, by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur, that's on the way to Egypt. He said, Hagar. Everybody just say her name out loud one time. All right, there's a reason for this. I want you to capture this. Get this in your heart. Slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? She replied, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, watch this, watch this. See how you would have acted right here. Go back. Go back to her and submit to her authority. What? Verse 10, then the angel of the Lord said to her, watch this, here's a promise. I will greatly multiply your offspring. There'll be too many to count. Look at this next passage with me. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and you will have a son and you will name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard the cry of affliction, and this man will be like a wild donkey, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will settle near all of his relatives. So she named the Lord. Well, here we go. You ready? Here's where the name comes from. So she named the Lord who spoke to her, you are El Roy. For she said, read this line with me. In this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. Now, what I want to talk to you about is when you're feeling discouraged or invisible or easily forgotten, and we all get there, right? One out of three of us probably feel that way this morning. Can we look back at this story in the Bible and can we gather some spiritual truths that can help us in that moment? And I say yes. And can we go from a place of feeling like we're in our own little wilderness and desert and alone and ready to die to feeling like we are seen by Almighty God and actually in this place where she was, because I believe she was amazed in this last moment saying, have I actually seen God? You mean God actually sees me? How many of you like to feel that way the next time you find yourself feeling alone and in a desert place? Amen? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. How do we get there? Well, here's some things we're going to take from the passage. When you and I feel alone, invisible, or easily forgotten, here's something we need to remember. God sees you. God sees you. God sees exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He sees you. Isn't it amazing? There are over 8 billion people on the planet, right? A third of them live in Orlando. Not Missouri, I'm promising you that. Man, there's people everywhere around here. I love it. And think about this, there's 8 billion people on the planet, and does it boggle your mind to think God actually saw you this morning before you ever got out of bed? Zephaniah 3:17 is my favorite verse in the Bible. And it says this, the Lord your God, the mighty one, he will save. He will rejoice over you. He rejoices over you with singing. You know, all my life I was taught to sing about God and love God. But you know what no one ever taught me is that God sung about me. And I'm here to tell you, before you ever got out of your bed this morning, God was singing the song with your name in it. Does that boggle your mind? God sings over you. He sees you like this. Here's what the Bible tells us. Look at these verses. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let this word give you encouragement today. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to who? Those whose hearts blameless toward him. Do you want to live for God? Do you want to search out the Lord in your life? God's eyes are watching. He's looking for you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. Does that bring you hope and encouragement? I hope so, because God's got his eye on you and he's listening to your prayers. I'm thankful the word says those who are righteous. It didn't say those who are perfect. Look at your neighbor and tell them you'd have no hope. Isn't that fun to do in church? Because everybody's like, at church, you gotta be all righteous. But we're all like, no, we're all like a bunch of sinners in need of grace. Amen. Thank God for grace. You ain't got to be perfect to come to Christ. You just got to have a heart that wants to come after Christ. A heart that comes after God. And God says, I'll look at you. Can I tell you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 7? Jesus says, indeed, even the hairs of your head have all been numbered. He says, and don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. In that conversation, Jesus had said, there's not an angel that can fall to the ground that your father doesn't see it. And he says, listen, you're more important than all the birds. You're more important to God than the animal kingdom. And here's what I want you to grasp out of this passage. If God sees you, watch this. If we had read the earlier parts of Genesis 16, here's what you would have found. You'd have found in the whole conversation between Abraham and Sarah about taking Hagar, the whole conversation, every bit of it, Abraham nor Sarah ever mentioned Hagar by her name. They only call her by what she is at that moment, their possession. Sarah would say, take my slave, take my servant. Abraham would say, I'll take your servant, I'll take your slave. They never call her by her name. She's nothing more than a possession. But do you remember reading how the angels initiated the conversation to her out in the wilderness? How did the angel of the Lord initiate the conversation, you remember? Hagar. He called her by name. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? God knows your name as well. I just met some of you today for the first time. I look forward to meeting some of you after the service, but I'll tell you this. God knows you, God sees you, and God knows your name. Psalm 139 is a verse that's given me a lot of encouragement over the years. And you think about the depth of this. Anytime you feel forgotten, the psalmist is overwhelmed with God, seeing him, and the psalmist writes this, for it was you who created me, who created my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. This is before birth. The psalmist said, you put me together while I was still in the womb. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Do you know that none of you are an accident? And before your mom and daddy even ever thought about your existence, God already saw you and he began to form you and he began to write out the days of your life in his book. Number two, I want you to capture this. God sees you. Not only does he see you, but he sees your struggle. You ever felt that way? That you're in the midst of a hopeless situation like Hagar? All alone, out in the wilderness, ready to die, forgotten, forsaken? We all feel that way sometimes. Here's the deal. When Hagar was being mistreated and was sent, and she ran off into the wilderness, God didn't get up one morning and go, where's Hagar? God didn't say, I didn't see this coming. God had his eye on her the whole time. He saw everything happening to her in the house. He saw her as she was out in the wilderness, and at the right moment, right before she gave up hope, God intervened, and he started a conversation with her in the desert. I need you to know God sees your struggle. I know following God's plan isn't always easy. Here's the thing, and some people say, well, if God loves us, why didn't he keep us away from sickness, sorrow, and death? Why didn't he keep us away from problems and pain? Here's the deal. Here's the easiest answer I can give you. It's a big theological thing that I'm going to put as simple as I can. We're not in heaven yet. We live in a world full of sin, sorrow, and sickness. That's just the world we live in. God doesn't promise to keep things from happening to us. He promises to go with us in the midst of the storm if we let him. He'll ride in the boat with you through the storm if you let him. He won't keep the storm from coming. That's what Hagar needed. Hagar needed to be in the wilderness, and she needed to sit there and realize all the things that's going on, and in that moment realize that a God in heaven saw her, a God in heaven knew her name, and when God started the conversation, she all of a sudden was transformed in that moment. And here's what I want to tell you. When you feel seen, when you realize that God sees you, there is incredible transforming power. It can actually change your perspective and change your attitude. It can inspire you in the moment. It doesn't mean your problems go away. Hagar's problems didn't go away, but God inspired her in the moment. I want to show it to you. Here's the things I want you to capture, that when you feel seen from God, and how many want to know you're seen today? And I need to tell you, sometimes you won't know you're seen until you get in the wilderness. Does that bless you? Does that encourage you? No, it doesn't encourage nobody. But I want to tell you that when you're in the desert, I pray next time you remember Elroy. And you may think, God, are you here with me right now? And here's what's going to happen. The moment you feel seen, this is what happened to Hagar. It invokes calmness. In the midst of being in the desert, she's still pregnant, she's still alone, she has no food, she's by a spring, she's got some water, but that's it, man. She doesn't know what she's gonna do. There's no way she's gonna walk all the way to Egypt and survive. And then God meets her in that moment, but when God whispered her name, can you imagine the peace that came over her when God whispered her name? I even wonder when the last time was she heard her name said. And when God whispered her name, a calmness came over her. It's the same calmness I believe God wants every one of us to have. I believe God wants you to have it today. It's John 14:27. This is what Jesus said. He said this to the disciples who he knew were getting ready to be dispersed and chased and persecuted, and many of them were gonna die for the faith of the gospel. The disciples' lives wasn't rosy, it wasn't easy. There is no promise for you when you become a Christian that everything's gonna be easy in life. You go through the same struggles everybody else goes through. But here's the deal, God says this. Here's what Jesus said in John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful." And when you realize that God sees you in the midst of your struggle, there's this beautiful calmness, this peace that can come over you. Again, Hagar's situation didn't change, but how she saw her situation began to change. A calmness came over her. And when a calmness comes over you, catch this, that instills courage. This is when the story gets really interesting. This is when it's like, are you kidding me? So the angel of the Lord not only calls her by name, and that brought this incredible calmness on her, but then the angel of the Lord said, now you gotta go back. Now you gotta go back and submit to her authority. How many of you would have argued with the angel? The Bible doesn't tell us if she did or not. I think she's just so overwhelmed that God spoke her name, she probably didn't, but I know Chris Vaught would have. You see, I'm Dutch Cuban. And you put those two together, I can argue with the best of you, right? I can be as stubborn as anybody, right? Put me in Orlando traffic yesterday, you would have saw it. Yeah, I only blew the horn once. And so that, if you know me, that's a blessing right there. All right, so here's the deal. Here's what you gotta capture. She is out there and the angel says, you gotta go back to Sarah. And you know she wanted to say, you wanna go back to that mean old bossy woman? You know how she treated me? You know what she did to me? You know what she forced me to do? You want me to go back and submit to her authority? Here's what I want to say to you. Sarah was totally caught up in the moment. What she was going through, what she couldn't see, was 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or 10 years, or 1,000 years into the future. She can't see tomorrow. Can I remind everybody of something? When God's plan isn't easy, when God's plan doesn't work out the way you wanted it to in the moment, trusting God means you trust God even if in the moment it doesn't make sense, because you know he sees tomorrow where you can't see. And God had a plan. See, here's the deal. The reason she got courage is because on that day, she realized God had a plan. God said, I need you to go back. I need you to submit to authority. But that isn't all that he said. Me, I probably wouldn't have heard anything else. How many of you can get 100 compliments and one negative, and you'll think about the negative and forget the 100 compliments? Isn't that so easy to do? But God said more to her than just simply go back. You remember what else he said, the angel? For I will multiply your seed greatly. Your seed will become a nation. You have conceived a son. She didn't know she was having a boy. The angel of the Lord's the one that did the gender reveal. Blue water came up in a fountain. Puff of blue smoke went into the sky. The angel's the one that did the gender reveal and said, you're gonna have a boy, and even gave him his name. You're gonna name him Ishmael. By the way, do you know what Ishmael means? Why would God name him that? Ishmael means God has heard your affliction. Every day for the rest of her life, when she looked at her little boy, she was constantly reminded in our hardest, darkest, deepest moments of life, God saw her, God knew her name, and God had a plan. He said, you take that child back, he's gonna grow up, he's gonna be like a wild donkey. He's gonna fight everybody, but you're gonna have a boy. And you know, every time she had to get on to him when he was seven, and parents know what I'm talking about? When he's breaking stuff and climbing trees he shouldn't have been climbing and chasing donkeys around the field, she's like, well, God, you said that's how he'd be. But she loved him, right? And she always knew God had a plan. Can I tell you, God's got a plan for you too. God began to give her directions. My wife's favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It came at a time when Judah was really struggling, and God, through the prophet Jeremiah, gave him a word of hope. And here's what it sounds like. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declarations. Plans for your well-being, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now here's the deal, Same thing with Judah, same thing with your life. God doesn't say it's gonna work out like you want it to, it's gonna look like you want it to look like. Doesn't say it's gonna be easy, doesn't say it won't require faith, but God says, I need you to know something. No matter what you're facing, I have a plan and I have something good for your future, and God knows how to jump in the mud puddles with us and grow roses out of it. Do you believe that? He knows how to get right in the midst of where you're at. He knows how to meet you in the desert and pick you up, and that's what he did for her. A friend of mine said this when I was talking to him about this message this week. He said, you know what Hagar had is when God called her name and initiated the conversation. By the way, who started the conversation in the wilderness? Not Hagar. Hagar wasn't praying. The Lord initiated it. And when you've got connection, and then the Lord gives you some direction, that will give you courage. And I pray that you will realize that when God sees you in your mess, when you feel lonely, when you feel forgotten or forsaken, God is there. And if there's anything you could take home, I pray you'll take home with you tonight. It's this. I want you to take this home with you. The big takeaway is that God doesn't just see you, he sees after you. God doesn't just see you, but he's watching out over you. I think one of the names you guys studied over the past few weeks was Jehovah Jireh. Do you remember that? I remember studying Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. Here's a cool thing. El Roy and Jehovah Jireh, and I did this study this morning, they both have the Hebrew root back together in one word. And so when it says the God who sees me, it doesn't mean the God who's just watching over me like, you know, I see you over there. It's like a parent who's watching their kid play on the playground, and you're ready to intervene at any moment. When the bully comes, mama bear shows up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When they fall down and scrape their knee, big strong daddy shows up with gentle arms. And your heavenly Father is not just watching you. He does watch you. He sees you. He knows your name. He sees your struggle. But he's not just watching you. He wants to watch out after you. And if we can get this down in our heart, it'll change the way we see our struggles when we realize that God isn't just there watching, but he actually wants to intervene, and he's opening a conversation with us. He's initiating an opportunity for you to talk to him, and he will walk with you through it. He may not take you, he may not make it go away, but he'll walk with you in it. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And here's this passage out of Psalm. I want us to read it out loud together. Psalm 32:8. Ready? I will instruct you and show you the way to go with my eye on you. I'll give you counsel. One more time. Ready? I will instruct you and show you the way to go with my eye on you. I will give you counsel. Look at the neighbor on each side of you and just say, he's got his eye on you. He's got his eye on you. How's he going to give you counsel? He does it in a couple of ways. Proverbs says that there is wisdom found in a multitude of counselors. That's why you need to be a part of a church like Kairos. You need godly people around you to hold you accountable and to speak into your life. You got to give people permission to speak wisdom into your life. He's given us his word, Psalm 119:105. His word's like a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. If you're a believer, he's given you his Holy Spirit. And you can pray and have a conversation with the Lord any moment at any time. And by wise counsel and through the word, his Spirit can give you guidance. He can guide you with his eye. You believe that? You believe that? I believe it today. How many know he sees you? Would you bow your heads with me? I don't know where you're at and what you're going through today. Maybe you feel a whole lot more like Hagar than you want to admit. Can we take just a moment I want to close this in a prayer before the worship team starts. And if today you just need to have that conversation with the Lord and tell the Lord, I'm here and here's what I'm going through, would you do that right now? Would you just get honest before God? Here's a beautiful thing today, I hope you heard, is that he already sees you and knows your situation, so there's nothing gonna catch him off guard. And you can just be honest with him because he loves you and he's gonna call you by your name. Wherever you're at, maybe you're here today and you're like, you know, I don't even know who God is. Can I tell you that he knows your name as well, and today's a beautiful day to enter into a personal relationship with Christ. So wherever you're at, whatever your situation, would you pray this with me? Lord Jesus, right here, right now, meet with us. Hear our prayers. See us where we are. And speak to us. Give us the peace of calmness of your presence and the guidance of your Spirit. Meet us where we are today, Father, and help us to realize you really do see us. If someone needs to come to faith today for the first time, God, give them the courage right now to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive my sin and come live inside of me. And today I choose to follow you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,